Blog Talk Radio.
God, I thank you for calling in for another episode of Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Internet Radio broadcast. Glory be to God. I'm your host tonight, Evangelist Hannah. Continue to listen to the music and I will return.
Oh.
valuable.
Everybody, and tell him how much you need it. Tell God how much you need. How many know we can't make it without him? We need to press up your presence. We need so anointed. Oh, we need it. Come on, everybody. Come on, lift your hands up all over the place. Tell them how much you need it. Oh, we need God. Come on and bless his name. Oh, God.
Glory to God. We truly need God. Glory to God. Again, this is Evangelist Hannah, your host for tonight. And I thank God for everyone that has called in. And for all our internet listeners, glory to God. He is truly, a good God. Glory to God. And tonight, we have again Elder Melvin Peoples. He comes on every fourth Friday, but today he's going to be on fourth Sunday, glory to God. Man of God, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Says God bless you.
Glory to God. God bless you also, man of God. At this time, I yield the lines to you.
Thank you, Evangelist Hannah. God bless you.
Sister Teresa
and all of the wonderful people of God who tune in to this great program. To those who are seeking Christ, for we definitely need Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. He's the Savior of not just us, but the whole world. So we're very grateful for the opportunity to come and to share in the word of the Lord. I really look forward with great anticipation in sharing the word of God. There's nothing more in life that I love doing and sharing in the word of the Lord. It's my heart's desire, my passion, and I desire all of you that are listening and have been beneficial to this ministry to keep me in your prayers that God would open doors and make ways that we may be able to share this word of God continuously in a sound and a very productive way. So we're thankful tonight, and we're going to, at this time, get into the word of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, breathe upon your word tonight. Anoint it, for I can do nothing without you. Give me the words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Help me to rightly divide the words of truth. Tonight we're going to be looking at a few passages from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And we're also going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." We are the world's experts, brothers and sisters, on the true and the living God, and I love the language of the apostle. He said, we diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, and that's a great responsibility. He says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading unto death." Amen. When people are not saved and born again, they're twice dead. Praise the Lord. born in sin and shaped in iniquity, of course, alienated unto death as Adam was, and we all are before our conversion. So the aroma of one leading death unto death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And he says, and who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God. We must always remember that God is in the audience. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, St. Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy and we do not lose heart. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are responsible to the consciousness of those who hear us, whether we teach, whether we preach, or whether we witness. And I like the English Standard Version of that particular passage. He says, therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. He said, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we will commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And tonight we want to use, and I get my thought from the 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. He says basically that we, as the people of God, have this great responsibility to renounce disgraceful and underhanded ways. And so I'm going to use for thought tonight, ecclesiastical conspiracy, the adulterating of the word of God. And to adulterate something actually deals with making merchandise of the word of God. That actual Greek word, corrupting, actually is the translation of it. And the primary meaning of it is to peddle. The sense of corrupting or adulterating something, the apostle is borrowing language from those who sold various commodities, whether it was wine or something like that. They would add water to it to increase the volume of it, that they might profit from it. And I think in recent times we also saw an example of adulterating with the, I don't know if you all were aware of the news concerning ground beef and how they had put pink slime in it to increase the volume and the attraction of it. Amen. So it's not an uncommon thing for people to adulterate a product. And in this case, the commodity is actually the word of God. Now, the word of God is genuine. The word of God is pure. Praise the Lord. And what has happened is we find that in many places people have added something dishonest to it. And Paul, in this passage, he could have dealt with it from maybe one or two senses. He's charging the opponents who have adulterated the gospel with using some type of extraneous material. Amen. And they were being dishonest, amen, in their responsibility with the word of God. And we have to be careful many times with the extra-biblical things that we use in conjunction with the word of God. The word of God is pure in its own essence, but sometimes, and even in these latter times, we find that we relate to science, scientific research and studies. And there is actually false science out there, brothers and sisters. There's false science that tries to suggest to us that, and when we talk about the issue of homosexuality, it's big in the news. But there's false science that suggests that people have a predisposition genetically or some type of internal disposition to be other than what God had made them to be. Amen. So the apostle wants to make us to understand that the word of God is pure, and it says what it says, and it means what it says. And he says to us that we should not walk in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Amen. Sometimes we want to make it superficially attractive. Amen. We try to dress it up and we try to say things that will have an appeal, amen, to the unregenerated world, praise the Lord. And we what we do is, in doing this, we distract from the simple power that is in the Word of God. The Scriptures teach us in the Proverbs, and I'm going to use a parallel example, that say that the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's Proverbs chapter 6. He says, to keep thee from the evil woman and the flattery of a tongue of a strange woman. Now, the parallel is that many times in the Word of God, corruption of the word is associated with harlotry and the character of harlotry. When you look at the book of Revelation in chapter number 17 and verse 5, it talks about Mystery Babylon the Great, amen, the mother of harlots. In other words, she is the root or the mother or the producer of all of the world's false religion. And so in the Proverbs, he says that it's important that we seek the word of God in its purest sense, that it might keep us from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. And in this case, the example is to suggest to us, amen, that it is false religion and it has a very seductive appeal to us, just as a beautiful woman who has a spirit of harlotry would be on the attraction on the attraction of the wiles to a man. Amen. It says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You see, we must be aware, brothers and sisters, that we are living in a time, amen, where there is a very, very subtle transformation from the Word of God to the ideals and the promotions and the principles of men. The things that are the rudiments of the world and things that are not after Christ. Amen. But we must understand that the Word of God is the power of God. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the power of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation and to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. So it's very important that we understand, amen, that in these latter times that there is the risk and the danger, amen, of ecclesiastical conspiracy, amen, concerning the Word of God. And I know most of us, we think that from the standpoint of ministry, most ministry people are honest people and with integrity, amen. And that may very well be the case in many cases, but we must also realize that there are those who are willing to corrupt the Word of God, amen, and change the doctrine for gain or ambition, amen. And in doing so, what they do is they deprive the Word of God, at least in our lives, from the energy that God intended. Praise the Lord. I can remember some years ago, as a young novice minister in the church that I attended, a traveling evangelist came by through the church to preach. And before he entered into the pulpit, he pulled me to the side and he asked me, what type of message does this church like? And as a young minister, that was very impressionable, because it said to me that he didn't come there to deliver the Word of God. He came there to entertain or to scratch the itching ears, amen, to appeal to the masses of people, perhaps that he might receive a better offering or for whatever reason, amen. But it's very important. It does not matter what we desire to hear, amen. What does matter is what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So it's very important that we realize this. So this type of thing, brothers and sisters, unfortunately, has become very common as a trend in the church. Amen. You find people who are preaching humanism, and they're preaching self-help and motivational speeches and emphasis on activities of life. Amen. In the outer court experience. Now, use the terminology of outer court. When we think about the tabernacle of God, which is a beautiful typology of the way we are as human beings, because the outer court of the tabernacle was representative of our body, amen. And the Bible says that
We are spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit first because when God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. So we are spirit, amen, we are soul, and we are body. Amen. God is speaking, amen, to our soul. Amen. It's very important, amen, that we do not be hoodwinked, amen, with the seductions of wealth, health, and prosperity as the primary emphasis of the word of God. Amen. Because the most important aspect of us is the fact that we are a living soul. Amen. And unfortunately, Satan has hoodwinked us, and I've heard ministers state that poverty and lack of success in some believers is an impediment to their witness, amen, for Christ in the world. Amen. You see, brothers and sisters, this is important, and I've said this before. The world is not impressed with our wealth or our success. Amen. They see these things all the time. Jesus did not attract anyone for a long period of time with his appeal of wealth, health, and prosperity. Amen. And those who followed him, who believed this misguided notion, eventually turned away from him. Amen. So it was not what Jesus, amen, suggested they could obtain in this life in the way of wealth, health, and prosperity. It was the wisdom of his words, amen, that spoke to their soul. Praise the Lord. And it's very important that we understand this, brothers and sisters. Many times we have been duped, and I was a couple of weeks ago watching a program on television, and just flipping the channels, happened to discover a circumstance where there was churches in the region and throughout the country, 18 churches had been duped by a man claiming to be a man of God who would come to their church and promise them this great wealth that they would invest their money. And unfortunately, there were 18 pastors who were deceived into this ruse. Praise the Lord. They lost their wealth. They lost the confidence of the people that they ministered to. They lost fellowship with one another because they were all seeking after, amen, the meat that perishes. Praise the Lord. And it's so very important, brothers and sisters, in these times that we understand that the word of God is being adulterated. The word of God is being used to manipulate brothers and sisters in Christ and to manipulate the world away from the foundation of Christ. Praise God. It's very important that we understand that when Jesus speaks, he speaks, amen, as one having authority. He speaks to the heart of the matter. Amen. And so St. Paul wanted to make brothers and sisters to understand, amen, that there is a genuine purity, amen, in the word of God. You see, there's an opportunity to corrupt the word of God in two ways. One is a direct way. It is corrupted when it is mixed with falsehood and lies, causing it no longer to be pure and genuine as the doctrine of God. It can be corrupted indirectly, amen, when we twist it and we turn it and we please it, amen, and we corrupt it, amen, by men and women of God who are seeking the favor and the approval of other people. Praise the Lord. There's going to be some who seem to not have corruption in their doctrine, but it's very important that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we be like those brothers of Thessalonica, the brothers of Berea who sought the scriptures daily. They received it with a readiness of mind, but they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Praise the Lord. We're living in a time where men will sell their souls for filthy lucre. Hallelujah. They will sell the word of God in order to prosper. They will corrupt the word of God. Whole programs have been dedicated to raising money and wealth. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? No matter what we obtain and accumulate, brothers and sisters, in this world, and I'm not saying that God is not able to prosper us and bless us with wealth and health and prosperity, but what I'm saying is, what would it profit us, amen, if we gain all of those things? What does it profit us if we teach the world that this is what God is all about, and those same people who benefit, amen, from the wealth and the health and the prosperity of God lose their soul? There's nothing more valuable to God than the soul of an individual. Nothing more powerful than the soul of an individual. And God has placed all of his efforts into keeping us from being deceived and to keep us from being manipulated by those who do not have the word of God as a passion and a desire to see people saved. We're talking about ecclesiastical conspiracy. Amen. There is another impediment, praise the Lord, a part of the ecclesiastical conspiracy. It is the spirit of denominationalism. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, amen, St. Paul says, amen, to the brothers at Corinth. He says, every one of you are saying that I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. And when you listen to that terminology, you can hear the spirit of pride. Amen. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. You can hear the pride of those, amen, who promote their denomination above the truth of God. He asked the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, denominationalism deals with being under the control of a denomination. There are many men and women of God who are driven to defend denominational beliefs. And this was a very subtle problem in the early church in Corinth, where the spirit of denominationalism originated in this circumstance. Praise the Lord. Believers were separating themselves based upon the personal preference for certain teachers and apostles. Praise the Lord. Some said that I am a Paul. Well, we knew Paul was a man that was caught up to the third heavens and saw things that he couldn't utter. He was a very profound man with great depth. Apollos was one who was mighty in the scriptures. Only the Old Testament, because at this particular time, the New Testament had not yet been recorded. But he was one who was mighty in the scriptures. And he had a faction of people following him. And then there was Peter, whom Peter had the keys to the kingdom. And then the others just said, I'm of Christ. I'm not with any of those. I'm just of Christ. But is Christ divided? And the question is asked, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, in the beginning of the church, immediately after the day of Pentecost, brothers and sisters, there was no conspiracy among the original apostles to divide the people of God. The people gravitated toward the leaders who seemed to have the greatest appeal and charisma, who best represented their cultural ideals. And this became problematic. It created a division and a spirit of competition. Today, the spirit of denominationalism is used to incarcerate the masses. I am a denominational skeptic because I do not believe that Christ has a preference for any Christian denomination. I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in an apostolic Pentecostal church, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God give the earth. But I found out in the process of seeking God and the Word of God that there were many errors in that movement. Brothers and sisters, there's an estimated 40,000 Christian denominations worldwide. It's impossible to even keep track of them. And many believers with great pride wave their denominational banners. Somebody once said many years ago, I'm a Baptist born and I'm a Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be a Baptist dead. But it's not about that. It is about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you and me, God. In the denominational system, men and women have agreed to unite themselves by creeds and bylaws. And in many cases, they bind themselves to loyalties contrary to the revelation of Scripture given to them by the Holy Spirit. They are brothers and sisters in denominations who fear being ostracized if they speak the things that God has placed in their hearts. they're bound by creeds and bylaws which distinguish them as clergy, as laity. There are no laymen in Christ. Praise the Lord. And many who know the truth refuse to speak the liberating word for fear and offense. When God invests the Holy Ghost in you, brothers and sisters, immediately you become a minister. You may not have a lot of knowledge, but you have a testimony. And God intends for us to use our testimony. Praise the Lord. St. Paul says, therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And he says that all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. And he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. When you get the Holy Ghost, God has placed in you the ministry of reconciliation, in that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We are ministers. And a minister is a diplomat that represents his or her government. We are ministers of the government of God. And we are sent to a foreign land. The world is not our home. We are pilgrims and strangers in the world. I'm not getting too comfortable here, because I know that in the very near future, the Lord is going to move me out of here. Hallelujah. Whether I go by way of the grave, I will hear his voice. Hallelujah, or whether I go by rapture of the church, this is not my home, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We are also ambassadors. You see, an ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic representative of another country. We're not just ministers, but we are ambassadors for Christ. There are those in the ecclesiastical community that try to keep you bound and tell you that you don't have a ministry. I'm not preaching rebellion against authorities, brothers and sisters, but I'm preaching knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I know him in whom I have believed. And he put all things on the line when he got the revelation of Christ and God knocked him down on Damascus Road and put him on a new course and a new journey. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, it's very important that we understand that we are the children of the Most High God. There are those out there who will not recognize the Christ in you, even in your own midst. They will not recognize and will not embrace the fact that you are a minister, you are an ambassador. They will not acknowledge you because there's an ecclesiastical conspiracy in many places to keep the brothers and sisters bound in Christ. I know this is not popular today, but it's the truth. Praise God. And Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Many times when people quote that passage, you will hear them say, set you free. They say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, but the word is make. Because once something is set, it's finished. It's a one-time process. But being changed in Christ, he makes us free. He makes us free. We go from strength to strength in Zion. He makes us free through processes and through procedures. Praise the Lord. He makes us free. You see, it is a gradual evolutionary process, an unfolding process of change. Where I was 5 years ago in ministry, I'm not there. Because Christ is making me free, and the truth is the thing that makes us free. But when the truth comes, do we treat it like a pearl of great price? Are we willing to sell out for it? Praise the Lord. My positions in time past caused me to be ostracized and run out of place. But it was a good move because God was with it. Hallelujah. Jesus said to his disciples before he was crucified and before they received the Holy Ghost, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you, brothers and sisters. It will bring a sense of conviction. It will bring a sense of direction. The question becomes, are we going to be bound ecclesiastically? Are we going to find ourselves pressed down and allow the weights and pressures of men to keep us from the purpose and the will of God? The world needs us, brothers and sisters. The world needs us to be free, because if we're going to be deliverers, we must be free ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. He says, when the Holy Ghost comes, he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. Neither should we speak to the people of God without his guidance. We should seek the mind of God in everything. And when God speaks to us, we can share. Hallelujah. It's very important, brothers and sisters. It may become important at some point that we reject the doctrines and commandments of men which are not rooted in Christ. And many of them are the stronghold of denominational Christianity. It's a great challenge, because it was the reason why the apostles were killed. And it was the reason why Christ was crucified, because they would not bow to the pressure of religious authorities. And you've heard me say this before, brothers and sisters, American Christianity, we've been lulled to sleep with comfort, and we've been lulled to sleep with a lack of persecution. There are brothers and sisters in Somalia. I was just reading in an article today from the Voice of the Martyrs. They hunt down Christians in Somalia. They kill them. They persecute them. In South Korea, the same thing. In many parts of the world. And we have to realize that we are the weak link. We are the weak link in the plan. But God knows how to wake us up, praise the Lord. And it's all about one effort, one strength, one mind. Not the divisions of denominationalism. And I was guilty at one time. I was thoroughly convinced that the way that I was saved was the only way it was supposed to be. And the truth that they told me was the only way. We had some good things, and we had some things that were erroneous. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, Paul talks about seven ones. There's just one body, brothers and sisters. There's just one spirit. Just as you were called with one hope of your calling. There's only one Lord, his name is Jesus. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all and in you all, if you have the Holy Spirit, of course. And as we have received Christ, we need to walk in and root it up and built up in him, established in the faith. And Paul says, as we have been taught, but he's speaking from a very, very pure perspective, because they were taught by the original apostles of God, men that God had handpicked, called out and prepared to take the doctrine. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we have to challenge some of the things that we have been taught, brothers and sisters. We have to be willing to say no. We have to be willing to embrace the things that God is trying to give us. Hallelujah. We have to be careful lest someone cheat us through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the principles and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For you are complete in him. You are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principalities and powers, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. It's very important that we understand there's a conspiracy even among Christian scholars to demote Christ. I read a piece on the internet just a couple of days ago where they claimed they found what they considered to be an original gospel. and it was found in the Middle East, and they're trying to say that Islam was the original gospel. The devil is a liar and the truth not in it. But brothers and sisters, if we don't be careful, we're going to buy into it. The only way that we can avoid it is to stay true to the word of the Lord, understanding that there is an ecclesiastical conspiracy out there. There are men and women who have bound themselves together to keep truth away from you. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but we're living in that time. We're living in that time when men would not endure sound doctrine, but they would heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, saying, scratch my itch. Preach me one of those good sermons that I can feel good about myself before I go home. But God has a message to us, brothers and sisters. He wants us to understand that as Laodiceans, we have a built-in tendency to stray away from the truth of God as it was given unto us, and we have been enamored. We have been captivated. We have been excited. We've been moved off of our foundation. Hallelujah. The foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself, he's the chief cornerstone. Thank you, Lord. There are men out there today who are even trying to deny that Jesus was actually the Savior. Theologians who are teaching that the red letter words concerning Christ were not really the words of Christ. Men who have went to seminaries and gotten doctoral degrees, amen, in theology, are turning on the word of God. And it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy, praise the Lord, in the seminaries. And some would say the cemetery, because many times it's a place where dead men's brains go. Dead men's brains trying to intellectualize the word of God, trying to make it something that God didn't intend for it to be. The word of God is a simple word. And I'm not saying at times it doesn't challenge us with the depth and the wisdom that it speaks. But God didn't give it to us to hide it from us. Jesus prayed a prayer, I thank thee, O Heavenly Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but revealed them unto babes. He hid them from those who are trying to deceive, those who are trying to corrupt, those who are trying to go above and beyond that which he has spoken. Hallelujah. There are those who even deny that Jesus came in the flesh. They said that the logos was some type of a metaphysical something that gives unity to substance. But the Bible says that the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. He was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus said that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. He was God incarnated. Hallelujah. It's a conspiracy, my brothers and sisters. It is an ecclesiastical conspiracy, and it is adulterating of the word of God. Someone in leadership might say, well, how is it a conspiracy? I have not met in secret and conspired with anyone. Perhaps you haven't. But if you have decided that women should not share equally in ministry and be respected as the vessels of God, you are part of an ecclesiastical conspiracy. If you are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and you teach that the revelation of God's word begins and ends with you and that they are laymen in Christ, you are a conspirator. Praise the Lord. You are one that believes that the revelation of God's word is only available to formally trained people in a seminary. And you are a willing or unwilling part, or you are an unwilling part or a willing part of an ecclesiastical conspiracy and an adulterer of the word of God. I don't mean to be mean tonight, brothers and sisters, but God has put this in my heart and in my spirit. Hallelujah. God needs all of us to understand that we are key. together in one place, in one accord. And there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues that the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Some people thought that they were drunk from new wine, but Peter stood up. He stood up with the 11 and he lifted up his voice and he said, "You men of Judea, and all of you that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known to you and listen to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." He's not just pouring out his spirit on male flesh, but he's pouring it out on female flesh. He's not just pouring his spirit out on poor flesh, but he's pouring it on rich flesh. He's pouring it on black flesh. He's pouring it on Asian flesh. He's pouring it on anybody who will believe on him, as the scriptures have said, "And out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water." This spake Jesus concerning the Holy Ghost, which at that time was not yet given. He said, "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams and see visions. Your old men shall dream see dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Stay encouraged, brothers and sisters. It's time out for denominational loyalty. We must speak the truth from the face of God. We are not the spiritual clones of denominational Christianity. It does not matter what banner you fall under. As we said earlier, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are some denominations who believe that miracles were only to establish the church at Pentecost. Too late for that one, brother. Too late for that one, sister. Since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I've laid hands on people and they have recovered according to the scriptures. Too late for that lie. Some people say, "Well, I'd rather believe Peter and rather than believe Paul." Them brothers didn't have any conflict of agreement. Praise the Lord. We're in that time, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Where men want to bound us to traditions and things that really have no real power or value in it. Praise the Lord. The Pharisees got on Jesus on one occasion talking about his disciples didn't walk according to the traditions of the elders, saying they eating with unwashed hands. They couldn't find anything better than to talk about men's dirty hands. Praise the Lord. A lot of men don't wash their hands. When they come down to eat, they just grab a sandwich and keep moving. So these were very common men. And he answered and he said to them, Jesus did, he said, "Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." He said, "As it is written," he said, "this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He says, in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, they hold the traditions of men." The washing of pitchers and cups, and at that time this is what was taking place. And he says to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions." Brothers and sisters, there's an ecclesiastical conspiracy. It is the adulterating of the word of God. But we can thank God that we have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. Some of us have gotten very comfortable saying no to the Holy Ghost. God has given us a deeper understanding of something, and because we want to keep peace and we don't want to disturb, we sit on it. And year after that I have talked to personally concerning certain teachings that they were teaching, and challenged them scripturally. And in private, they said, "Brother, I know you're right." But they didn't have enough courage to stand up and take a position. And they would probably say, "I'm not a part of any conspiracy. I have not met privately with anyone and decided to deceive people." You see, in the spiritual dimension, the conspiracy is not necessarily a collaboration with others. It is the agreement with the father of lies, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, Belial, as he's called. We're in fear of retaliation, fear of persecution, fear of being ostracized, fear of losing the congregation. But guess what? They don't belong to you anyway. They belong to God. The Lord says all souls are mine. So there's an ecclesiastical conspiracy. And Paul was so concerned about that before his death, even back then, close to 2,000 years ago. He pulled the elders together and he warned them. He said, "Brothers, after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock." And that's what's happening. No scrutiny. No concern for the people of God to the extent that they want them to have the word of God, the purest in the purest form that they're able to deliver it. Why? Because they have in mind what the apostle called filthy lucre in many cases. "I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to rock the boat because I got a good thing going here. Praise the Lord. I got plenty of money coming in, people that love me." Why tell them this truth? It only changed things. Praise the Lord. Am I trying to imply that they're not many, 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 many brothers and sisters who are striving sincerely? Yes, but we owe it to ourselves, brothers and sisters, to search the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And when God gives you something, pray on it, meditate on it, fast on it, and see what he wants you to do with it. Because don't think for one moment God is going to entrust us with the responsibility of the word and not put us to the challenge concerning whether or not we're willing to stand for it. Because that's the way he does it. That's his methodology. Because the word is the most important thing. That's all you really got. That's all you got is the word. That's all I've got is the word. I don't have anything else. Your house, your car, they're all holograms, if I can use that terminology, and maybe we all can understand that. Well, they're holograms. They're not real. The thing that amazes me is that I've lived long enough to go back into old neighborhoods that I lived in, and nothing's there. None of the old houses. Weeds growing up all over the place. Because that stuff is not real. It's temporal. It cannot last. Praise the Lord. But heaven and earth could pass away, but the word will always be there. And why? Because Jesus is his own word. He is the spoken word. He is the living word. He is the word of God. my brothers and sisters, don't get pulled into ecclesiastical conspiracy and the adulterating of the word of God. God bless you. I love you much. Thank you for this opportunity.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a word tonight from the elder. Oh, God, what a word tonight is truly needed in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for bringing correction to the body of Christ through the man of God. And if you are on the phone lines or over the internet, and you have not accepted Christ into your heart and asked him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, we're going to give you a chance to do so. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. In order to be led by the Spirit, you have to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior so you can hear the voice of God leading you. If you're tired of being led by the world and your flesh and just no order in your life, or you got order and you're angry and you're not happy, it's time to start the process. Glory to God. And all the word of God say is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So just repeat after me. Father God, I know that I am a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I want you to be Lord of my life. That's faith, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And if you said that prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. And my prayer for you is that he will fill you with his spirit, with rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. Glory be to God. That you will find a teaching church that don't compromise the word of God. Glory to God. And you can go to kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com and let us know if you said the prayer. We would love to send you a Bible, or we would send you an MP3 audio Bible. Send us a comment. We would love to pray for you. We would love to stand in your faith fight with you. Glory to God. The angels are rejoicing, and we are rejoicing. Thank you, Lord God. Men of God, again, well, what an awesome word, what fire.
Thank you, sis.
Thank you, Lord God. We just appreciate you so, and thank God for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Do you have any closing comments?
Just once again, want to thank you, Vance, for the opportunity to share. Don't take it lightly. It's really a blessing to be able to reach out to people in these last times that they might hear the word of God. You know, my desire has always been to be as pure as I possibly can, you know, not to offend, but to make people aware that they might be built up in Christ. So, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Glory to God. And, man of God, I just pray that, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, you will continue to open up doors.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the man of God.
Hallelujah.
That he can teach the truth.
Oh,
in these end times, Lord God. That you will prick the heart of the people before he come. The heads, they will not be offended by the word, but they will receive the truth.
Thank you.
So as he said, the truth make us free. Glory be to God.
Yes.
That congregations will become free. 100,000 will become free.
Hallelujah.
As you use the men of God in these end times, Lord God, I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, Lord God. I pray that you will pour back into him, Lord God, double, triple what he poured out tonight for your people,
oh,
Lord God. I thank you for supplying every need. It ain't no more see you, God. Open doors, Lord God. Hey, can't that double say, Cody Shata? You will open for the men of God. Hey, can't show no more see you, God. Thank you, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Oh, they said, I will see you are truly worthy, Lord God, of all the praises and all the glory and all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. And I give a shout out to Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And again, men of God, Kingdom Builders International, we thank you.
You're welcome.
And we are making plans to meet you in person.
Okay. That'll
Glory
be great.
Glory be to God. Yes, we are.
Right.
Yes, we are.
Amen.
And you and everyone on the phone lines and over the internet, tell someone about the word that went forth tonight, about the truth that went forth tonight, uncompromised, and they can go on into the archives and listen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And again, God love you, and Kingdom Builders International love you, and Elder Melvin Peoples will be back on Friday, June 20th. Every fourth Friday of the month, glory to God. And again, thank you, men of God.
You're welcome,
And everyone have a blessed evening.
God bless you. Good night.
And good night.